In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, my dear friends, today we had, of course, our May crowning, and very fittingly so, because we approach this very week the 100th anniversary to the day of the first Fatima apparition of Our Lady. It's good for us to reflect the world into which she came. 1917 was a very dark time. The world was in the midst of its first world war, a war that would leave 17 million dead. Of those 7 million civilians, a war that would leave 20 million others wounded. A war the scars of which you yet see when you go to Europe. I have spent a good deal of time in France. There is not the single village, the smallest village, that does not have a monument to its dead from World War I. It was a time of tremendous devastation. When Our Lady appeared, it was about a year before the end of the war. But what would follow would be as devastating, the rise of communism and the death of yet still others, millions of others, put to death by their own in Russia. So it was a very dark time. And Our Lady came into that world. She was in her person a pledge of divine mercy, a light when all other lights had gone out, as Tolkien says. She was the heavenly delegate of Christ Himself, intervening on behalf of mankind. We think of that famous poem of Chesterton about another dark time and the intervention of Our Lady. Over the iron forest, he saw Our Lady stand. Her eyes were sad without an art, and 7 swords were in her heart, but 1 was in her hand. Our Lady intervened. We call her the Mother of Holy Hope, and we need to lift our gaze to her in the darkness of our world, a darkness which is every bit as great, although different, than that of the time of the Fatima children. We live in a world of uncertainty, a world of instability. You might say that it's a powder keg on so many levels, political, financial, religious. We live in a time, as we know, of unprecedented crisis of faith and morals. That's our world. And even were not those great difficulties there, which sort of are like a weight on our shoulders, a weight on our hearts in the background, there's everyday life, which is difficult as well. We so easily get lost in the difficulties, personal, familial, in the parish, difficulties that in the grand scheme of things really aren't significant, or maybe, but in a way that is totally beyond us, because we don't see how they fit God's plan. And so we lose heart. We lose peace of soul because we've lost perspective. We've allowed things to become bigger than they are, and we forget to see God in the picture. And we forget that we are but pilgrims here on this earth for a little while, and only a little while. And so all of these struggles, all of these difficulties, they weigh us down, they drain us of our strength to do the little things of every day which in fact constitute sanctity, and in fact which will change our world. We have to look to Our Lady. And the darker the time is, the more we have to look to her. She is our model in the time of trial, especially when we consider her on Calvary. One famous writer said that on Calvary, Jesus dying gave to us his mother. We know that. But then he says, not that we might look after her, but rather that we might look at her and from her learn how to stay the course, to be strong in time of difficulty. From her we learn the secret of serenity, of gentle strength in crisis. I quote again Chesterton, another poem that he wrote about Our Lady on Calvary. And she cried aloud as she cried under the gibbet, for she saw her son. We don't think about that enough, just who it was that Our Lady saw. And then another poem of Chesterton, but the heart of the swords, the seven times wounded, was never wearied as our hearts are. Even in the midst of those great difficulties, of that great darkness, her heart was strong. Her heart was at peace. And why was that? How was that? Because that's the key for us. It was a question of what she looked at. She could have looked around her at the priest mocking her son, at the soldiers casting dice to give away the very last article that belonged to him yet on earth. She could have looked around and saw no apostles other than John. They were all afraid. They had abandoned him. They had fled. The holy women wept from afar. The earth shook. The sun was hidden. She could have looked at all of that. And if she had, the temptation to be bitter would have been very great. But her gaze was not on any of that. Her gaze was on her son. Her gaze was on the heart of her son. And it went far beneath the surface of things to the reality of that heart, to the strength of that heart, to the love of that heart, to the offering of that heart, and she understood, and she was at peace, and she offered with him. I quote a Benedictine author, disregarding all things and herself, Our Lady never for an instant looked away from God. The anguish of Calvary was to her soul what the waves whipped up by the wind are to the deep waters of one of those lakes one meets in the high mountains. Lakes so close to heaven, lakes so deep that one cannot reach the bottom. The surface may be disturbed, but what can touch those unfathomable depths? Our Lady was the soul of serenity in the midst of trial. And so it must be of us. We must lift up our heads. We must lift our gaze. As Dom de Lot, another Benedictine, writes, we must keep the head of our horse high. That is the law of riding, but it is also the law of our whole life. Abbess Cecile Bruyere was one of the great Benedictines of the 19th century who worked to restore monastic life in Europe. She worked under Dom Guéranger, the famous Benedictine, and the two of them, she on the woman's side, he on the men's side, brought about a great revival of monastic life. You realize that from the time of the French Revolution and a bit before, to maybe 100 years later, the number of convents and monasteries in Europe dropped from 1,500 to about 30. It was a consequence of the French Revolution. It was the consequence of the conquest of Napoleon, who took the principles of the French Revolution throughout Europe. And so monastic life, which had been the anchor of Catholic civilization, was absolutely devastated. And Abbess Bruyère, Cécile Bruyère, wrote this in 1880. "If you knew how clearly I see that God founds and builds only with the ruined, the impossible, the paralyzed, it is like some mysterious game that eternal wisdom plays in all the world." And this is true of individuals, and it is true of spiritual societies. Now, this was 1880. It was that year that the persecution against the convents and the monasteries began anew. The monasteries were closed. The monks and the sisters were forcibly removed. They were sent into exile. And that exile would last up to 40 years. And it's interesting that she made that comment about God building from the devastation. She made it in 1880, at the beginning of that persecution, and in fact, those 40 years saw 15 more monasteries founded in Europe. God works. God works in difficulties. He works in time of trial. He conquers through the defeats of this world. And Our Lady helps him. Our Lady helps us. It was on Calvary that she obtained for us the graces we need to be faithful in the darkest of times. And so it is to her that we must go. Father Calmel, one of the great anti-revolutionaries in the crisis of the church, one of the great traditional leaders when Vatican II exploded upon our world, he writes this of Our Lady. "Mary stood at the foot of the cross of her Son, the Son of God in person, in order to unite herself most perfectly to his redemptive sacrifice and in order to merit every grace for the children of divine adoption, every grace, the grace to confront the temptations and tribulations that mark the lives of those most united to God, but also the grace to persevere, to lift oneself up, to sanctify oneself during the worst trials, those trials of bodily exhaustion, and those much darker trials when the soul itself is in agony, those times when temporal society becomes the prey of every invader, and especially those times when the Church of Jesus Christ must resist her own self-destruction. Standing at the foot of the cross of her Son, the Virgin Mother whose soul was pierced by a sword of sorrow, the Divine Virgin, who was crushed and overwhelmed as no creature ever will be, makes us understand without a shadow of a doubt that she is capable of sustaining the redeemed during any trial, however unimaginable, by a maternal intercession that is all pure and all powerful. This Virgin, most sweet, Queen of Martyrs, convinces us that the victory is hidden in the cross itself, and that this victory will become manifest. The glorious dawn of the resurrection will soon break, giving place to that eternal day of the Church triumphant." And so, dear friends, the Immaculate Heart is heaven's answer to the woes of our time, and it's for us to show ourselves truly devoted to her. You know that Sister Lucy, when Our Lady appeared to her each time, this little girl, her spontaneous response upon seeing Our Lady, so beautiful, so good, her first words, her spontaneous response was always, "What does Your Grace desire of me? What do You want from me? I will give it." And that's true devotion. That's being devoted to our Heavenly Mother. What do You desire from me? And at Fatima, just as at Lourdes and at La Salette, she told us what she desires. It's never changed, and it hasn't changed today. She desires that we turn away from sin, which so offends her Son, that we take seriously this obligation on our part to be an example of Catholic life in a world which has lost all sense of faith and morals, that we stand out, that we be lights as she was and is in a world of darkness. And she requests as well that we pray and that we do penance. Sister Lucy lamented in commenting on the blindness of the men of our world. She lamented that the cause was that they have abandoned prayer, and she said that's their biggest fault. That's their fault. They don't pray. That's the men of our world. What about us? And the rosary especially. Remember what Our Lady said time and time again, pray the rosary every day. She went further. She said in the July apparition, continue reciting the rosary every day in honor of Our Lady of the Rosary, because only she can help you. Only she can help you. And so we must pray, and really pray, our rosary especially, and we must sacrifice. Again, Our Lady, appearing to the little ones at Fatima, are you willing to offer yourselves to God in reparation for sin? Are you willing? And they cried out, yes, we're willing. And they showed by the rest of their lives just how willing they were. Well, Our Lady didn't speak only to those three little ones. She spoke to us. Are you willing to offer yourselves to God in reparation for sin? The angel of peace at Fatima, in everything you do, offer a sacrifice to God to make up for the sins by which God is so offended. And above all, accept and endure with submission the suffering which God will ask of you. Again, those words were not only spoken to those three little ones. They were spoken to us. Do we love Our Lady? Are we willing to hear her plea? Are we willing to be generous? How far are we willing to go? You know, we had the little ones offer their flowers today to Our Lady. Why the little ones? Why is it always the first communicants? Because they're innocent. They have something we no longer have. And they can go to Our Lady as an innocent child and offer that token of love, generosity. Well, they do it on our behalf. We may not be innocent, but we can still go to Our Lady, and we can still go to her as her child. A child never grows up for a mother. Those of you who are mothers who have adult children, you still simply think of them as your little ones. And so it is with Our Lady and us. And so we go to her as her little ones. And we hear those words that she spoke to Sister Lucy, who was discouraged at one point when Our Lady had told Jacinta and Francisco that they would soon go to heaven, but that Lucy, for her part, must stay and suffer for many years. And Our Lady said to her, "Do not lose heart. I will never forsake you. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way that will lead you to God." And so she speaks to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.